We light the first candle of hope as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. And so we are preparing ourselves for the days when the prophet Isaiah said, "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they be trained for war anymore. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Well, friends, it's good to actually be together in person this Advent and not virtually like we were last year. And we have this every couple of years where it's a little bit jarring to have to switch from, you know, turkey eating and turkey sandwiches or whatever you ended up eating on Thanksgiving to then suddenly making this quick turn to focus on Jesus and his coming birth at Christmas. So again, I hope that you had a wonderful time over the last week or so, and I know some of you got the chance to visit with family and friends, and that's always a good time together, although not too long of a time. You know, everyone, after a few days, you're kind of like, okay, I need my space back, and it's good to go back home, and you can continue to love them for a little bit more of a distance, you know, as well. As we start this series leading up to Christmas, I was thinking about a question, and it's a question that every generation tends to ask in its own way, and it's the question, where were you when, dot, dot, dot. And with that particular question, we all have those kind of moments that really stand out in our life. When we think sort of on a bigger scale, you know, some of you might be able to answer the question, where were you when Neil Armstrong stood on the moon for the very first time? Or if you happen to believe a certain other way, when he was standing on a Hollywood lot and they did it, all of that. Where were you when you heard that JFK had been shot or that Martin Luther King Jr. had been shot and killed? Where were you when 9/11 first happened? And ever since, over these last 20 years, every time we stand in line at a TSA airport check, it's a reminder that things that happen in those where were you when moments alter life dramatically. Things change and we can never go back to the way they were. We actually come up with a new normal, a new reality that we live with. Where were you when you first realized that this pandemic thing was for real? For us in the Bay Area, it became real very quick. It wasn't something that happened way far away in a place that we couldn't pronounce or had never even known where it was on a map. It was maybe when you were watching the news and you saw pictures of that cruise ship come under the Golden Gate Bridge for the first time. And then we saw a dock in Oakland, and they set up these quarantine tents. And we're like, what is going on? What is happening? This was a where were you when kind of moment. Yeah, you had people on that ship. And we're wondering, Lord, what is going on? We have no idea what this next 20 months was going to turn into. Moments or times like these are big. They change things. And unfortunately, a lot of those where were you when moments are more negative things. They're things that come with little to no warning, or at least we weren't reading the warning signs. And they introduce a sense of uncertainty into our lives that perhaps wasn't there before. Does any of this sound familiar as you think back over the last 20 months or so? For some of you, it's been many, many more months. Well, welcome to our present new reality, the fact that you can't see my face, so you don't know if I shaved or not. This is our present reality, whether you choose to accept it or not. But this, my friends, is the reality that we've all been living with for quite some time, and yes, it's been a tough 2 years, not just for us, but for the world. So it's a good thing that we finally have arrived at this season and are able to gather together in person, and we don't want to take that for granted. Advent is all about hope. It's a season of hope, that hope that we anticipate and becomes realized as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Advent isn't just Christmas plus or an extension of Christmas. Advent is a time that links the past and the present and the future. As we said before, it means coming or arrival. It's that anticipation time, a season of expectation and waiting and longing. In Advent, it looks back in celebration at the hope that was fulfilled when Jesus came to earth. And at the same time, it looks forward in anticipation for the fullness of Christ's kingdom when he returns to the earth. His full kingdom, full splendor, full presence of God here. So my friends, Advent is an opportunity for us to prepare our hearts to celebrate Jesus once again. It's a time where we're able to focus on a story that is far bigger and greater than our own story, even though our story is folded into the great and grand story of God. Advent isn't a season to pretend to be happy or to cover up the pain or hardships that you might be experiencing or currently feeling. No, it's a season where you can live into that pain and still be hopeful at the same time. Advent is a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God sent his Son here to earth. Emmanuel, what does that mean? God with us. God with us. When we stop sometimes to think about that reality, it should blow our mind. That the God, the creator of everything in the entire universe, all that we can see and cannot see, would bother and show concern to come down to this one little planet, to us, to dwell as one of us. I mean, that just continues to blow my mind. This season, wherever you are on the level of anxiety and uncertainty in your life, I invite you to step into this season of Advent. Amid the craziness and uncertainty of this whole pandemic time and some of the things that we still have to do, the accommodations we still have to make, and the news that we still hear even today, Advent comes as a gift. It's an opportunity for us to rediscover Christmas. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at those four big themes once again. Those four aspects of Christ that are summed up in his birth. Hope, peace, joy, and love. And today we begin by rediscovering Christmas and exploring hope. Hope in our uncertainties. Or rather, finding hope in our uncertainties. You see, we think we have a bad today. But you know, many people in many generations before us have thought the very same thing in their time and in their age. And in fact, the people of the Bible were no different in that regard. And in some ways, they did have it far worse than we do in many ways. It was a harsh day to live in, full of conquest and brutality. And in many ways, things haven't changed much in 2,000 some years. See, for God's people, it was a long time since the promises that God had made, that they had seen them come to pass. You know, God had promised them a Messiah, one who would come to save them. And they were thinking, save our little country and free us from Roman oppression and make us great again as a nation. And they had such a small view of what God actually meant by that. We have the same problem often, if we're honest. It was a long time since God promised a Messiah who would come to make things right and bless humans and restore all that we had messed up since God's perfect creation. But for the people of God, the Israelites, this promise wasn't just a happy pie in the sky idea for them. It wasn't sort of like a, well, I hope it's going to happen. I hope it's going to come true. This was their deepest hope that sustained and encouraged and motivated them for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Especially through generation after generation of uncertain waiting. We have trouble waiting 3 weeks or 4 weeks just to get to Christmas morning, let alone the little ones out there that have an even harder time than we do. The nice thing when you're an adult is if you want to open a present early, go ahead. You know, we won't tell them that, all right? God's people had been clinging to one of the first promises that God had made to them in Genesis 12, when he said, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. But as the generations continued and they experienced setback after setback, they started to have a different cry. It was the cry, how long, O Lord? And maybe that's a cry that you have had in your life or in different seasons. Or maybe that's your cry right now. How long, O Lord, was the cry of the ancient Israelite people? And by the time they were waiting for Jesus to come and they had no idea it was about to happen, the question was sort of like, are there even any embers of hope that are left remaining? How long can you actually keep hope alive? We like to think of hope as this grandiose thing, but when we boil it down to the nitty-gritty, sometimes it's hard to stay hopeful. Were there even embers of hope left smoldering? And the answer, the definitive answer that we read in the Christmas story in the Bible is yes. No ifs, ands, or buts. This morning, I want to pick up the story in an unusual place. Actually, just after the end of the traditional Christmas story. So we're still in Luke 2, but I want us to look a little bit closer at two of the characters later on in that chapter, Simeon and Anna. So I'm going to read Luke 2, 22 through 38 for us this morning. Some of these pictures that I used, we used them online last year for the first time, so now we get to use them in person. Let me read this. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna. These are two people that usually we only hear about sometimes at Christmas time or maybe just after Christmas. But these two people were sparks of hope in Israel. They were people who were expecting God to come through, to deliver, to do what he had promised. And they had been doing it not for a few days or a few weeks, but for years. And in some cases, decades. And they were just the end result of family lines that had been waiting hundreds of years for this moment. They believed that God was going to come through on what he had said. They were waiting for this. And they've both lived very long lives. They have seen and experienced much, both hardship for their people and pain in their own lives. Do you notice that neither of them seemed the least bit surprised or uncertain that this baby Jesus is the long-promised Messiah? Neither of them. And yet, when you read through the Christmas story, as we will in bits over this month, most of the rest of the people in the story have some sort of doubt, or at least they take some convincing that this is what's actually happening at this moment. It says that Simeon was moved by the Spirit, and it says that Anna approached the family and gave thanks to God for the child. You see, they were filled with hope, these two, and that alone made them ready. Not filled with their own hope, as Pastor Amy said before. It wasn't something that they created or manifested. This was the hope that they had within them as infused by the very Holy Spirit of God. See, that's the thing about hope. It's Spirit infused into us. These two waiting, watching, listening, expecting, even as time passed, and they grew older and older, and they still held on to hope. They served God faithfully, and they were inspired and fueled by the hope that, yes, God was still at work. And we need that same kind of feeling today, that God is still at work, that he's never stopped, and that he will continue to do his work until the very day of the Lord. Simeon and Anna reveal something about hope and its power that I think will fuel our lives now and each step beyond. Because there's something about hope. Hope sees beyond. It sees farther than what we can actually see with our own lives. Hope sees beyond. It is the fuel of faith. It's the fuel of faith and dreams and possibilities. It's that spark that catches in the cold darkness. It's the flicker of that first light in the morning time. It's that thing that we can't always understand or describe, but we know it when it's there. Friends, no matter how bad this year has been for you, no matter what kind of struggles you are facing, no matter what kind of season of darkness and pain you might be in, let me encourage you not to abandon hope. For hope is still alive, even in our deepest pain and most hopeless circumstances. Hope is that thing that chases away the darkness and the uncertainties that bombard us every single day. Hope is alive because God is with us here now. Romans 8 actually says it. It says that because this hope is alive, it concludes that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's verse 1. And if you read further in that chapter, it's one of the most read and well-known chapters in the Bible. It explains our relationship as God's children, but it also sees beyond to our future when God will fulfill his work and restore not just you and me, but all of creation to the way that God first intended it. It ends with these words. Well, it doesn't end. It continues with these words. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That verse really got me this week. Let me reread that again. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? I really hope that I get that new book. Oh, wait, I already bought it. I really hope. Obviously, those are trivial examples. Who hopes for what they already have? You see, hope exists before our present reality comes to pass. By its very nature, hope is present even in the uncertainty that is before you, whether you're aware of it or not. Hope is also the willingness and the desire to believe beyond our present circumstances and the reality that is present to us right now. Verse 26, the reason I included that verse is it provides that important connection to sustain hope. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Those moments when my hope might be a little bit shaky, just knowing that it is the Spirit who can infuse that fresh measure of hope. And just knowing that it is the Spirit who does that in you so that your hope may be what bolsters me in that day. And my hope may be what bolsters you in the days to come. That's part of how the people of God are supposed to work together. It's an amazing thing. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. It reminds us that we can indeed hold on to hope because God is with us here, now, and always. Nothing will ever change that. Nothing that we can do and nothing that we can undo. Friends, with God, there is no uncertainty. He knows your pain and your struggles and your challenges. Do you know that God was not taken by surprise when a virus hit the entire globe? God wasn't surprised when the economy froze and your jobs might have changed and so many were worried about food and shelter and life itself. God was not surprised when you or your loved one received a diagnosis or got that painful call in the middle of the night or you heard about a friend of yours. God was not surprised when you heard those words that broke your heart or shattered your world or left you in confusion or uncertainty. God was not surprised and is not surprised because he sees you and is with you. And he is here now, as we said before, Emmanuel, God with us. This is a hope that is infused by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we feel too weak to carry on, when we feel our grasp slipping away, his Spirit is with us. Now, God has promised messages of hope throughout history to his people. That's why when you read through the Bible, you'll see so many different examples. One of the things that's hard for us, though, is we read these verses and we think that they apply to just me. But when we read these verses that I'm going to read in just a moment, all of these verses, every time you see the word you, it really should say what? Y'all. Pretend you're from the South for a moment. All y'all. All of these are plural yous, meaning they're not just for you personally, but they are for the benefit of the entire group. What does Jesus say in Matthew 28? And surely I am with you, y'all, always, to the very end of the age. Oh, I did. I put it in there. I forgot. It's like I knew. Jeremiah 29, a verse that people like to always apply to themselves, but really it only applies to the group. For I know the plans I have for y'all, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Isaiah 43, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned y'all by name. You all are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you all ablaze. Yeah, Isaiah's got a lot of good ones like that. Message after message of hope. Can you feel the hope leaping from these words into hearts? We are not alone, even at our loneliest or darkest moments, for Christ has come. God is with us every step of the way, and this promise of hope inspires us to carry on. That's the thing about hope. Hope inspires us to carry on. Sometimes it might not be what you're feeling at that particular moment, but it might be the hope of someone else that sort of reinvigorates you, or vice versa. The Apostle Paul described the cycle of hope like this in Romans 5. He explains that because of Jesus, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. We probably should have been remembering that a lot over the last 20 months because I don't always see that. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This hope from God's Spirit does not put us to shame. It will not let us down. It will not disappoint us. Instead, it can give us a new and growing strength to see beyond the pain and confusion in front of us. There are lots of examples of hope and inspiration. This empowering of hope drew my attention to a great story from the past year. Who knows of a guy named Tom Moore? Well, maybe you know a Tom Moore, but there is a particular Tom Moore. It's this guy. And Tom Moore is actually Captain Sir Tom Moore. He's a World War II veteran. And last year, in the midst of the pandemic, he was 99 years old, and he wanted to do something. And he single-handedly raised $40 million just by walking laps in his garden. See, he wanted, in preparation for his 100th birthday, he wanted to walk 100 laps around his garden. And then it was his son who challenged him and said, well, Dad, why don't you have people pledge? And, you know, pledge maybe a dollar, or in Britain, a pound for each lap. And his daughter ended up putting this little thing on a charity website, and of course it went viral like a lot of things did. We all had plenty of time to go online last year, and that's what people were doing in his case. And so he did 100 laps for his 100th birthday and raised $40 million for the British Health Service single-handedly. He actually has the Guinness Book of World Records for the most money raised by a single person in a charity walk. And he actually has, they got his words and combined it into a musical single. And he's the oldest person, I think, to have a single go number one on the charts as well. You can read more about him online. He was a spark of hope against a backdrop of fear and uncertainty. And he told reporters who asked him, he said, at 100 years old, the first step was the hardest. This is a guy who wasn't used to walking around very much. After that, I got into the swing of it and I kept on going. The first step was the hardest. And that simple phrase that I heard him say, it made me think, isn't that true for each of us in different ways? Isn't that true of hope, that sometimes that first step is the hardest one? It can seem so difficult to reach beyond what we're facing. It can feel so impossible to take that first step. But when we receive this promise of hope that God has infused through the power of His Spirit in His Word and through His life in us, we can find new strength. When we embrace the power of hope embodied in the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we discover new strength to keep on going, keep on stepping and walking, maybe even running, one step at a time. This is what Sir Tom said last year, towards the end of the year. I would like us all to stand shoulder to shoulder, metaphorically. You know, Britain was in the midst of their own problems at that time. Let's try not to get downhearted. We will get through this, whatever is thrown at us, and together we can ensure that tomorrow will be a good day. Kind of simple, hopeful, inspiring words from a 100-year-old guy. This past February, Tom passed away after complications from pneumonia and COVID at 100 and plus, almost 101. This is what he wanted his epitaph to read. I told you I was old. I thought that was kind of funny. He wanted to play off that other epitaph, "I told you I was sick." He wanted people to remember that. Friends, hope inspires us. And hope empowers us, and hope builds upon hope and keeps us going no matter what. So the question for you is, what is your next step of hope today? What is your next step of hope in this season of Advent that we start upon today? I pray that you find hope in the waiting and anticipation of Jesus this season. I pray that you are able to draw hope from God's faithfulness in fulfilling His long-awaited promises. My invitation to you is to take that step toward hope. Will you join me as we lift our hearts in prayer this morning? God, I thank you that your hope inspires. And at those times when perhaps our hope is faltering or a little shaky, that it can be the hope of other people that we see that can reinvigorate us. I pray that you would send your Spirit upon this group of people and infuse them with another measure of your hope, that it would open our eyes to see the world around us, that your work continues. In fact, it has not stopped. It has not stopped in the 20 months since this became part of our new reality. And your work continues today. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. Will you bless each person here this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. From the book of Romans, hear these words as we close. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Have a great week.